We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
Well, we've kind of walked our way through Abraham's long life. And towards the end of his life, it's actually way towards the end of his long life, we find Abraham concerned about one thing. He's been concerned about many things through the course of his career as a patriarch. He is concerned that he has no children. He is concerned that he and his wife, Sarah, are too old to bear children. He is worried that he'll never have any children, and yet he has this promise, this covenant from God himself, that he is going to have children, and not only just a few, that his descendants after him will be so numerous that no one will be able to count them. Now, here comes Isaac, the one son that God gives him by promise. And Isaac gets old enough to have himself a wife, and Abraham's concern now, at the end of his life and near the beginning of Isaac's, is that when Isaac marries and has a wife and carries on not only the family line but also the promise, he is going to have a wife that doesn't come from among the Canaanites. Remember, Abraham is a stranger in a strange land. He dwells in a land of, well, pagans, heathens. And he alone is a man of faith in that land. But he doesn't want his son to have one of the native women as a wife. Why is that? We're going to answer that question and many others when it comes to Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi again.
Tom, Abraham is worried about a lot of things throughout his life, but his last worry is what kind of a wife his son is going to have. Why is he concerned that it not be from among the Canaanite women?
The Canaanites were well known for being idolatrous, and in fact, God had even put a curse upon them. And so Abraham wanted to go back to his own family roots in order to find a wife that would be appropriate for Isaac. And later on, a little bit, we can talk about how we look for wives or how that should come about also. But I think this is a good example that you need someone simpatica with your understanding of theology. And of course, that will occur when Abraham sends his servant back to find a wife for Isaac.
So this is about it's not about ethnicity or nationality or bloodlines. It's about the faith that Abraham has been given.
Yes. I mean, today, would you want your daughter going around with a Hell's Angel motorcycle group to find a husband? And the Canaanites were worse because Hell's Angels don't slaughter babies, etc., whereas the Canaanites did.
So expand on that a little bit, because we're not just talking about dwelling in a land of foreigners, so to speak, because this land actually belongs to Abraham. We're talking about not just idol worshippers and pagans, but the worst of the worst. Talk about it a bit, if you would.
They had a god named Molech, M-O-L-E-C-H, and part of their sacrificial rites were sacrificing infants to this god. And God makes it very clear, he didn't have the Israelites come and kill all the Canaanites because he had made a promise that this would be Israeli land. No, it's that these people were very corrupt in their activities, etc. And we remember the problems at Sodom and Gomorrah also. So that this was a people that the odds of finding a husband suitable, a wife suitable for Isaac was about nil.
He makes his eldest servant swear that he's a couple things. One, that he's going to go back to his own kindred to get a wife for Isaac. And two, when he says, well, why don't I just take Isaac with me back there? He says, no, you can't do that. And it's based upon the fact that, at least Abraham appears to base it upon the fact that God had called him, Abraham, out of that land into Canaan. Talk about that, Tom.
Yes. God is the one who's going to be fulfilling the promises in his own good time. And therefore, it wasn't suitable for Isaac to go back at this time. God had made a promise. Yes, they would be restored, but not at this time. And so he only wants to send his prophet and then bring the wife back to Isaac in order that God is still in charge of the situation.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's interesting that Abraham says, don't take my son back there. He says, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, your offspring, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Who is that angel? He doesn't get mentioned again, but Abraham trusts that he will go ahead of his servant. We'll find out the answer to that question right after this. Election analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life.
We had some candidates who thought that if they went into their districts or their states and talked only about abortion and women's reproductive rights, that they were going to win. They thought that was the magic bullet. It did not work.
Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage.
Look at the races where Republicans endorse same-sex marriage. Then look at how candidates did that were Republican, that were champions of traditional marriage. You couldn't be more wrong to say that marriage didn't have an impact in the election. It had a big impact.
Greg Smith of the Pew Research Center.
Among voters who attend church or another house of worship at least weekly, almost 6 in 10 voted Republican. Among people who say they never attend religious services, most voted Democratics.
An angle on the midterm elections you won't hear covered by Fox News, CNN, or NBC. Issues Etc., your comprehensive source for news, information, and truth.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself, the knowledge of his perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. There's a mention here, very brief, by Abraham when he's speaking to his servant about the prospect of going and getting this wife for his son Isaac, that the Lord God who said he would give him the land will send his angel before you. What's that about, Tom?
Yes, he also repeats that in verse 40 when he's reciting what had happened. The angel of the Lord here, we believe, is none other than Jesus Christ. And it's really interesting if you take a look as where is God in this chapter. He is mentioned with the word Lord in capitalized in the following verses. And this is just in chapter 24 of Genesis, in verse 3, 7, 12, 26, 27, 31, 35, 40, 42, 44, 48, 50, 51, and 52. Talk about a chapter that shows God is in control, God is directing all things, and this is the way God even works in your own life. If you had a chapter about your life in the Bible, the Lord would be there numerous times, and he certainly was there in providing a wife for Isaac.
This servant, when he gets to where he's going, he kind of sets up a condition that he asks God to fulfill in order that he might know which girl the Lord has chosen. And he begins by addressing, O Lord, God of my master Abraham. And then he ends by saying, by this, that is if the girl comes out and says the right things, by this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. You might think it's kind of a test for God. What's he doing?
It's not a test from the point of view, and we believe this is Eliezer, who was the oldest servant of Abraham at this time. He asks that when a woman comes, he says, please let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And she says, drink and I will water your camels. And then he says, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have known steadfast love to my master. Now, it's unfortunate that when we were looking for our wives, we couldn't get a promise from God like that, you know. Although I think we all got wives that we're very proud of. But the fact of the matter is, this is a very special wife because she is going to be the mother of the from whom the seed comes of many nations all the way up to the time of Jesus. So this is something the servant asked for and God did fulfill.
And it happens immediately. I mean, it's he's no more done praying than she comes out and does exactly as he has asked. Does this mean, is the message here, Tom, that in fact God had chosen Rebecca for Isaac?
Absolutely, that God often answers our prayers before we even make them. I can't tell you how many times I have a need for something, and then all of a sudden there may be a knock on the door or something come in the mail, and all of a sudden the need is fulfilled. And there's no way that God could have started working on that once I began the prayer, because it takes some time for the mail to get here or whatever it was I was looking for. So I find this in my life all the time, that God knows my true needs, and when I finally realize them, a lot of times he's already in the business of fulfilling them.
So Abraham's initial concerns about having this wife for his son Isaac are, it's not that they're unfounded, it's that God's already been working to provide this in advance.
Well, in verse 8, he does say to his servant before he leaves, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine, only you must not take my son back there. So Abraham isn't absolutely sure, but this is a plan he has, and he's been praying to God to help fulfill it, but he's also open, and that's something we need to be, even when we're praying to God for something we think we need, that sometimes he's going to say, no, not right now.
When he sees that Rebecca has behaved in this way, and he knows that this is the woman, he does something very interesting that must have come as a surprise to her. It says he took a gold ring weighing about a half a shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels, and then kind of invites himself to stay the night. What's the symbolism of this action?
It's kind of like when an individual will give a diamond engagement ring to his the woman that he wants to be married, and so they are now engaged. And by doing this, we really see the faith that the Holy Spirit is working here. It's very clear that this family also knows about Yahweh, the true God, and therefore they are more than willing, because they come to a decision. This is Yahweh behind this. This is the true God behind this, and therefore, without hesitation, the servant gave her the gold ring and also the bracelets for her arms.
When he retells the story, he emphasizes the fact that God answers his prayer immediately. He goes into the girl's father's house. We meet the brother Laban, who will come back around in the story. And when he tells it, he says, before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew water. So it's not as though he had to kind of wait around and even guess at any of this.
And remember, look at the faith he has. He doesn't even know who she is. And is he going to probably get a surprise when he finds out that she's the granddaughter of Abraham's brother? She's the daughter of Bethuel and the granddaughter of Nahor, who is Abraham's brother. Talk about God making sure that an appropriate wife is going to be found for Isaac.
He tells the story in the reaction of both Laban and Bethuel. It says in verse 50 there, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." What are they saying there, Tom?
What they're saying there is the result of the faith that the Holy Spirit has placed within them, that when the Lord speaks, we need to be aware of his speaking and attempt to obey it as best as we are able. And so when they realize that she did act in the way that the servant was looking for, they recognized immediately that this was the hand of God, and therefore they were willing to let her go.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel on this Monday, November the 10th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Isaac and Rebekah, in Genesis chapter 24. We will finish up the story and find out the law and gospel of it and what the message is for the kids right after this.
Coming Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 10 in the morning Central Time on November 14th through 10 in the morning Central Time on November 15th. This year's theme, Myths About Lutheranism. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. the issues, etc., 300. We base our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker every week on a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Now, that alone should tell you what you're looking at here. And if you've listened to our conversations, you know exactly the direction that it takes. Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is finding Christ and His saving work, either foretold, promised, foreshadowed, on every single page of Holy Scripture. That's what our conversations are about, and that's what Growing in Christ, this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, is all about as well. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House, and they'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tom, there's a lot of worshiping going on here. Especially by Abraham's servant. He falls down and worships several times. It says there in verse 26, the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham." And he talks about his steadfast love, his faithfulness. What do all these words mean?
It's an awareness of God's presence. The reason when we walk into a sanctuary on a Sunday morning or Saturday or Monday, whenever we worship, is because God is present. And sometimes He is sacramentally present, as when we receive the very body and blood of Christ. But that's not the only time He is present. He is present from the opening of the baptismal formula in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is present when the pastor absolves us from our sins. He is present in the readings. He's present in the hymns. He's present in the liturgy, the sermon, and of course the dessert of the worship service in the Lord's Supper. So we need to remember that outside the worship service, God is always present in our life. How many times on our way to church does the devil wish we had a car accident and never get to church? God makes sure that doesn't happen. So He is constantly present, and we have the very same God that Abraham has. God has a plan for our life. Sometimes we're unaware of what it is, but I would get across to the children that they need not worry really that much about the future, because as they stay in word and sacrament, God will lead them in a path that is according to His will. And sometimes He'll give them some signs like, boy, I really want to be a fireman or a policeman or a pastor or something like that. And other times it will just be by what we consider the luck of the draw, when in reality God's hand is in everything that happens to us.
So there's one final blessing that occurs in the story when the servant of Abraham wants to take Rebekah back to Isaac right away. They'd like her to stick around. They ask her. She says she was willing to go with him right there. I will go, she says in verse 58. And then it says that they blessed Rebekah with these words, and I want your thoughts on it. "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate them." What do you have to say on those verses?
What is happening here is a number of things. Let's look at verse 60. "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000, and may your offspring..." Now, the New King James translates that as descendants, plural. But fortunately, the ESV has the proper interpretation there. But it's really hard, even when you use the word seed. Is that singular or is it plural? In the original language, it is singular, namely the offspring. And that reminds us of Galatians 3, verse 16. The promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, and this is one of them, to Sarah. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring," singular, "who is Christ." Now, what is the blessing? Well, you already read it, that your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's also found in Genesis 22:17. What does that mean? If you possess the gate, you have control over the gate. You can enter in at any time, and therefore you are superior to those who are trying to hide behind the gate. Jesus is the one who possesses the gate of Satan. One little word can fell him. We can remind ourselves on this birthday of Martin Luther, where he wrote that tremendous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and in referring to Satan, one little word can fell him. He's done. The deed is done. And this all comes back to God leading Eleazar to find an appropriate wife for Isaac so that finally the seed singular would be born, and that every Sunday school children who is baptized can be sure heaven is their home.
With about a minute here or so, Tom, these people who speak this originally probably have no idea. This is probably just wishing her many children and kind of thinking maybe they're exaggerating by saying thousands of 10,000s, but they're not. They may think they're exaggerating, but they're really not. God actually intends to fulfill that literally, doesn't he?
Yes, because that's the promise he made to Abraham. Take a look at Genesis 12, Genesis 15. God said that you will be the father of many nations. And through Isaac, and last week we saw the tremendous faith of Abraham that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac because according to the book of Hebrews, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. Because his promise is so sure, there is nothing that can contradict God's word and promises in the Bible.
So what's the bottom line of Law and Gospel for the kids in the Sunday school classroom with about a minute, Tom?
The bottom line is one that God has worked his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Many times I feel I'm not getting what I need from God. And what I need to understand is to trust him where he promises that anything I need I will receive, including the greatest gift of the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation through Jesus Christ, his son, my Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and next week we will talk with Pastor Baker about Jacob and Esau. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Martin Luther's work, whether soldiers too can be saved. Dr. Holger Sontag will be our guest, and we'll also talk with Pastor Will Whedon about 4th century Roman soldier and bishop Martin of Tours. We'll also discuss Lutheran schools. Pastor Peter Bender will be with us for an entire hour tomorrow on Issues Etc. You ever thought about that when the promise is made to Abraham? And God says, I will make of you a great nation and a father of many nations. Now, technically speaking, by blood, Abraham is only father of one nation, right? Just that one nation that came from him by blood. But of course, the promise isn't just about what comes from Abraham, what descends from Abraham by blood, right? The promise is also about what descends from Abraham by faith. And that's where the many nations actually get made, through the promise made to Abraham. He's only becomes one nation, his physical descendants. But by the same faith that God had given to Abraham, God makes of Abraham many nations. In fact, a multitude from every nation, every tribe, tongue, language, every ethnicity, every family line is drawn into Abraham's descendants by faith. Remember, Paul tells us that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And it is by the same faith in the same promise for Abraham. The promise is afar off, but it is eventually fulfilled in his seed, in his descendant, Jesus Christ. It is by the same faith that we are counted righteous, faith in Jesus himself. So we are among the many nations that God made of Abraham through Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to receive Martin Luther's A Simple Way to Pray, signed by its translator, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Everyone who records their answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, by Friday morning, November the 14th, will receive an autographed copy of A Simple Way to Pray. The listener with the best recording will also win two Concordia commentaries, Galatians and Romans 1-8. Leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line by Friday morning, November the 14th at 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.